in Vancouver on 101.9. You're listening to the Community Living Show.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, getting stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy, and as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Welcome to the Community Living Show here. Today is Thursday, and this is our one-hour show. And today, I'm Michael Rubin, and I want to share with you some stories of ladies from the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Group in Langley. A few weeks ago, they had a special event, a hoedown to fundraise for the for their foundation, their community, and the walk to Banff that they plan on doing. And I was able to capture some of the stories of treatment from doctors, from society, how they kind of how people view hidden illnesses in general. So let's listen to a few of these stories, and we'll take a break afterwards. And welcome to Community Living Radio. We are here today at the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Hoedown, and we're going to record stories of people that have hidden illnesses, find out what their stories are all about, how they feel about things, how they feel about the way they're being treated, find out what the major issues are, find the commonalities between everyone. So just stay tuned here, and we will start collecting stories shortly. Thank you.
Okay. I was diagnosed in 1983 with fibrositis, which later was called fibromyalgia. I had three small children. My youngest was 6 months old when I started getting ill. I was lucky. I had a really good rheumatologist at that point in time, and I was treated fairly well. Good quality treatment. Life went on. There were things I had to do differently because of having the kids. Parenting was a little bit different. My husband really had to pitch in, and it was really tough at times. I mean, when the pain was so bad and you still had a baby to care for. As the years went by and we moved to BC, my doctor here in BC was very good about treatment and whatnot. And then our son, who was 28 at the time, was killed in a traffic accident. And I got through the immediate days of shock, okay. But when the shock left, I was left in horrible, horrible pain again. And I floated for a long time, just on painkillers and nothing really working. Getting up in the middle of the night and sometimes going in the shower just to feel a bit of relief. And then I met Cheryl and Nigel when I went into the store. And Cheryl really pulled me back together. And now I'm not doing too badly. I get
either way you look at it,
lidocaine shots in my trigger points, and that seems to be holding me not too badly. I'm coping a little better with everything at this point.
What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe Tinger was left and gone away.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard for me to talk about.
Hi, I'm Donna. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia in my early 30s. I think they diagnosed me with fibromyalgia, which I'd never heard of, because they didn't know what else to diagnose me with. Since I was about 15, 16, I'd wake up and I couldn't move my neck, or I was sore legs and I couldn't walk, or I was dizzy, or I was so lethargic I couldn't move. I always had some kind of ailments or something wrong, but I just kept going and going through life because you have to. You don't have a choice. And my doctor kept diagnosing everything and going, nope, nothing's wrong. I think I've had more x-rays and MRIs and EKGs and blood work than most people have in their lifetime. Then finally, I say, in my early 30s, they said, well, you have fibromyalgia. And they said, there's really nothing we can do for you. You just have to deal with it. So I asked what it was, and my doctors at the time said, well, we don't really know, but that's kind of what it's leaning towards. So they sent me to rheumatologists, and I even actually went to a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and it wasn't in my head, it was actually my body. Over the years, I've managed to deal with things until about 1998, 2000. I woke up and I literally could hardly move. I laid on my couch for about 3 weeks. I had my husband and neighbors get my kids to school, and friends would come over and cook and bring food and do laundry. And after about the third week, I said to my husband, I said, oh my God, I said, I can't stand this. Like, buy me a gun, let me kill myself. This is ridiculous. Like, I'm so much pain. So finally, my niece said, have you tried acupuncture? And I said, I have no idea what that is. So I went to her acupuncture, I managed to crawl to the car, and all I could think about was, if I kill somebody, I'm going to be so, so, so sad. And I really hope I don't kill anybody, but I have to get myself to this doctor, because if I don't, I am going to kill myself, because I can't live like this. So I went to an acupuncture, and oh my God, it was like when I called and talked to him on the phone. As soon as I met him at the truck, he walked out to my truck and said, "You must be Donna." He could tell by my face, I guess. He just took a needle and put it in my head, and most of the pain went away immediately. It was like, oh my God. But I went to get out of the truck and I couldn't walk. My legs were like gone, just gone. So I did years of acupuncture, and it did work. It worked wonderful. Don't get me wrong, I do still have pain every single day, but the acupuncture got me where I could function and I could deal with life. My husband got MS about 10 years ago, and I had to go back to work. I hadn't worked for many years. And so what could I do? So I went into cleaning houses, and it was really hard. It was a difficult job. It's not easy. People think housework's easy. It is not. You're on a time frame. The equipment's heavy. We had vacuum cleaners that were on our backs that weighed 40 pounds. There were some days I just couldn't do it. But I did, because I had no choice. I had kids to raise, I had a husband that was at home with MS, so I just took painkillers. My doctor started me on Lyrica. Lyrica worked. It still works. I take Lyrica, taking muscle relaxers, taking Advil, taking ibuprofen, taking anything I could take. I also have Crohn's. I was diagnosed with Crohn's in my 20s. So between the fibromyalgia and the Crohn's, it's been a wonderful journey. I ended up quitting work a couple of years ago, and I got onto a disability of Crohn's because the government does not acknowledge fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is a more debilitating, more serious disease than anything. People don't understand. Some mornings you wake up and you cannot move. But then 2 hours later you can go out dancing all day. It affects your body so differently. My joints all swell up, and I feel like I'm 500 pounds, and then other days I'm not swollen. Some days I can't even lift a cup of tea. Life is very difficult, but you manage because life is worth living. And my children and family and friends, a lot of people don't really understand that because they don't know what's wrong with her. Like I saw her yesterday, she was painting her living room. That's how fibro is. It comes and goes like a mysterious disease.
It's always a privilege to have a beautiful lady on the stage.
We still feel the pain. I'm in so much pain.
Please give a nice warm fibromyalgia welcome.
Probably couldn't even live with it, but you learn to live with it. I've met people now in the Fibromyalgia Society Foundation that they have such a terrible existence because of their fibro, and I count my blessings that mine is not as severe as theirs. So no matter how sad and how bad you think things are, there's always somebody worse. So you mentally keep going. But fibromyalgia needs to be recognized so that a lot of these people can get onto a disability and they don't have to just get by. They can actually live life, because life is very short and very precious. So if I can help someone, I really hope you listen to the stories today. Thank you.
Myself, May 26th,
2013, I had a whole invasion, which left me suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. A couple of months after that, I should. What?
Now you know your love keeps lifting me.
Yeah. September 10th of this year, I'll be diagnosed a year. So it had taken a year and a half before I finally got diagnosed, and I'm sure with some people it's taken a lot longer, like 5 years and 10 years of suffering. I'm glad I found this foundation, because I know the people get it. You have it. They get it. And for any invisible illness, now I really love to see people in a different light, because this happened to me. So, you don't know. That's it. All
you hear that these ladies are a little bit nervous about telling their story because the doctors have prodded them, poked at them, tested them, and things like that trying to discover a diagnosis. In some cases, they were told that it was all in their head, that they were just imagining things, that there wasn't anything really actually wrong with them. It's just kind of interesting how, because you can't see any physical representation for the pain that they were going through, that it must not really be there, you know, that it has to be some depression or something else, some, mental illness and nothing physical. And it's taken, like you heard the one lady said, it took her a year to get diagnosed so that she could begin treatment, and others taking up to 10 years to get diagnosed so they can get treatment for this condition. So, I mean, the stories and the lack of recognition even by doctors is kind of amazing, and it's one of the reasons why I wanted to record these stories. So we're going to go to a break right now, so I will be back in a second.
Yeah. The 13th annual Vancouver Latin American Film Festival lasts from September 3rd to September 13th. The festival is bringing more than 50 films from 14 different countries to Vancouver. This year, Mexico is the festival's guest country, and a special selection of Mexican films will be presented at the event. Don't miss being a part of the largest Latin American Film Festival in Canada. For more information, visit VLAFF.org.
About bikes. Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
Why'd you eat the whole thing?
Hi.
You snuck in my room and got him and shut the door because I told you not to eat anymore. Why'd you eat so many?
I love M&M's.
I know you love M&M's, but now you're going to have a tummy ache.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
When I have a rumbly in my tummy, the only thing that makes me feel better is listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
And you're back listening to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA networks and being played live from the studio from UBC CITR 101.9 FM. And we're going to go back to the fibromyalgia stories that were recorded at the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Hoedown and Special Event in Langley, BC.
Hi, my name is Lynn, and I have fibromyalgia. I've been sick for almost 4 years now. This disease is invisible, as people that look at me don't think that I'm sick. They don't know what goes on inside my body every day. They don't know that I just slept 20 hours yesterday because I had chronic fatigue and I couldn't get out of bed. A lot of us struggle through this, and mostly it's single women. And all they get is disability once a month. Back to my story. So what happened, basically, I guess, is I was very much of a, what you would call a type A personality. Always on the go, had my own business, had a child, my husband had a business, go, go, go all the time. Well, the stress caught up to me, and this was in the summer, and I started getting pains under my feet, pains in my hands. I didn't know what was going on. I went to see the doctors, and they ran a whole battery of tests and tests. And the thing with fibro is that nothing shows up on the test. So I was diagnosed in the winter after going to bed one night and waking up 2 months later in bed. I was bedridden. And this is where I looked out, I searched out for help for the fibro group. And this is where I learned that there's so many people out there just like myself. And for any invisible illness, people need help. They really do. And still, there are still some doctors in this day and age that do not believe that this is a disease. And people are made to think that this is all in their head. It's not. It is a very real disease. There is pain involved at different levels and fatigue. Now, after 4 years, I'm more stable, but I still have my share of problems. And I started seeing acupuncturists and other different natural remedies. That unfortunately a lot of people, again, on disability cannot afford. I'm one of the lucky ones. So, it is also a disease that doesn't kill you. But I have to defer that it does, in the sense that it makes you very depressed. Depression is huge. And we don't get depressed and then get sick. No, we get sick and then we get depressed. And some of our members just couldn't take it anymore. And so they ended their lives, because nobody wants to live like this. Nobody wants to wake up after going to sleep at night, turn around, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and start crying because you missed the day and life went on without you. I encourage people to reach out to those organizations that really need help, and hopefully we'll get some government exposure as well. So my name is Lynn, and I have fibromyalgia.
In 1994, I realized I hurt all over. So I went to my doctor, and he told me I had fibrositis. And I said, "What's that?" He explained it to me, and he said, "That's what we used to call it, is now known as fibromyalgia." So in 1996, I was sent to a neurologist in Vancouver who determined I had it. How did it affect it? It sure slowed me down. And this last year it's been very painful. Well, I had a very active life. I did a lot of walking and line dancing, and I can still walk, but I don't do very much I don't dance very much anymore, because it's affected my balance.
This sounds like the dancing is something you really enjoyed.
I did, yeah. No, I do other things now to keep myself busy.
What other effects have you had?
Well, life is just the same when you hurt. It's straight from my neck to my feet. Yeah. And it's now, mostly it was all on my left side, and now it's going down my right.
So, your day starts in the morning. What does it take to get it going most mornings?
Well, you start off slow, because when I wake up, I hurt all over. I can hardly bend over. But once I get moving, that sort of helps. But you have to, I can't sit for very long. That's one thing, because my back hurts when I sit. So I have to keep moving. And my doctor just says, keep exercising. I think so.
He's just going to play a quick song.
It works for, me, yeah.
Oh.
My husband and I are both, I went to the Y for 18 years, and now we belong to the Snap Fitness Center. So we go 3 times a week.
Do you have advice for somebody else who would be newly diagnosed?
Yes, never go on cyclobenzaprine. That's a muscle relaxer that'll drive you crazy. Well, I didn't realize what was the matter with me until I fell and broke my wrist. And I kept telling my doctor I was dizzy. And it wasn't until after I fell, and he wasn't there one day when I went in to get my prescription filled. And his stand-in says, I can't fill this for you. And I said, why? And he said, how long have you been on it? And I said, 20 years. And he just about fell off his chair. I wasn't to take it for more than 14 days at a time. And I'd taken it for 20 years. So I'm telling you, after I went off that, I've really suffered. But I'm getting my balance back. Because it made me very dizzy.
Has been dealing with the job has been difficult then?
This past 6 months has been. Because it's the invisible ailment, and they can't see why I hurt. But he says the only thing I can take now to kill the pain is Oxycontin. And I'm not going to take that. But you learn to live with it. I have my good days and some not so good days.
Thank you.
Well, I have another thing to go to, so I have to leave pretty soon. We're going to a luau.
Did you see that? He was bringing all those drinks.
Yeah, you just have to keep one foot ahead of the other. Keep going.
When I first realized my fibromyalgia symptoms was about 10 years ago. 25 years ago, I was diagnosed with depression, chronic depression, and 10 years after that, the fibromyalgia started. But it wasn't until the last 4 years that it's become really serious, and I have to use a cane to walk with, and my walking time's really limited. I'm not sure what to say. It's horrible. I used to be a runner. I used to run marathons. I used to run races. I ran with my kids, and I can't do any of that any longer. My walking time is 20 minutes, and we walk on the beach in McDonald Beach in Richmond with our dog, right? And I go down there and I sit. And so yeah, I 4 years ago, I sprained my ankle, and it got really serious, actually, and that's what brought the fibromyalgia out in full force. And 2 years ago, I was hospitalized, and I had to learn to walk again. I because of pain medication and stuff, I had my legs and that had gone to jelly basically, and I went out to the UBC hospital for 12 weeks, and they taught me how to walk again, and since then I walk with my cane, and that's pretty much my story. I've had it for 10 years. I hate it, like everybody. It's hard living with fibromyalgia. It's really hard. It's something like I've never experienced before, and I've gone through like everybody else here, I've gone through migraines and all of this stuff, right? And fibromyalgia just lays you out. Just
yes, he is all the time, and I know my
just kills you. Is that okay?
Hi, my name is Julie Villafania, and I was one of the lucky ones. I was first diagnosed in 2002, within a couple of weeks of basically falling down and not being able to get out of bed, and very, very sore, not realizing what was wrong with me. As I say, I was one of the lucky ones. My doctor diagnosed me instantly with fibromyalgia, something I'd never heard of in my life, and something that I never thought I would develop, considering I was the healthiest person alive. I never took any medication for even stomach ache, and suddenly I was on about 5 different meds. I thought that I would get over it. I thought maybe it would last about 2 weeks. And now it's been how many years? 13. And gradually I get worse and worse. Initially, I knew no one with such a disease and was reluctant to tell anyone because I knew that there was a lot of negativity against the disease after I started learning a little bit about it. And so even today, I don't tell anyone unless I know them well enough. I just don't have the energy for defending myself or others with the same disease. And so I basically just trot along on my own. I also have terrible chronic fatigue, and I find that actually to be worse than the fibromyalgia because it's so debilitating. I'm tired after a couple of hours of doing general things around the house or neighborhood. So I find that worse. So I can live with the pain, which is constant, but it's the severe fatigue that's really debilitating.
How do you get through your days?
I pace myself. I will do something for half an hour and lay down. Do something for another half an hour and lay down. If it takes a couple of hours, I have to come home and lay down for about 4 hours. Today, I know that when I get home, I'll have to rest all day tomorrow and maybe even the next day to get over being here today. But it's worth it, of course. That's how I deal with it. Pardon? What was I like before? Wow, I was ridiculous. I was working full-time in mental health, volunteering full-time wherever, all over the place in Victoria. I used to even take time off work to volunteer. I had lived in a condo, and we had 34 garden plots, and I was in charge of divvying them up to the people in the building. And if people moved out, I would dig up the plot for the next people. I would exercise and swim and run and had a great social life. I was a completely different person, totally different. You wouldn't even recognize me now.
The 13th Annual Vancouver Latin American Film Festival lasts from September 3rd to September 13th. The festival is bringing more than 50 films from 14 different countries to Vancouver. This year, Mexico is the festival's guest country, and a special selection of Mexican films will be presented at the event. Don't miss being a part of the largest Latin American Film Festival in Canada. For more information, visit vlaff.org.
What do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband Tom and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it. So can you. For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
Late night show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&D or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in a moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it can be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into the late night show. They'll broadcast here on Saturday mornings at 12:30 p.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by new DJ Ray and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca.
Why did you eat the whole thing?
Hi.
You snuck in my room and got him and shut the door because I told you not to eat anymore. Why'd you eat so many?
I love M&M's.
I know you love M&M's, but now you're going to have a tummy ache.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
When I have a rumbly in my tummy, the only thing that makes me feel better is listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
And we're back here on the Community Living Show. And again, we're still listening to the stories of pain from ladies who have fibromyalgia. And they're all with the group of the Fibromyalgia Wellspring Foundation in Langley, BC. They're pretty amazing because they run a thrift shop out there to help fundraise and bring awareness to fibromyalgia. All these ladies that you've listened to, they volunteer every day to help bring awareness to this disease. As you heard the last person say, that they had a great time this special event. Lots as you hear in the background, there's lots of music, lots of people dancing and things like that, just having a really good time. But you heard this lady say that she was going to have to rest for an entire day after participating in this event. You know, that just doesn't seem normal. There's something wrong with that. And this is one of the reasons why we need to make sure that hidden illnesses like fibromyalgia get recognized. So not so that people can wind up on disability or something like that, but just so they can get treatment and help so that they can have a more normal life, not have to, after I have a couple hours of fun, I have to lay in bed for the whole next day because my body just won't respond to what I needed to do, so I can get up and have another day of excitement and, you know, and function. So anyway, we're gonna listen to more of the stories right now.
Bodied and you have no right, and I end up crying myself to sleep at night because I am in pain and I need those facilities just as much as the next person, but because they can't see that I have a disability, they put me down and tell me I have no right to even use the elevator. And so that's hard. That's the hardest part, and that hurts a lot, and I cry myself to sleep, but I'm not a big enough or outspoken enough person to say anything in the moment. So that's what I struggle with the very most is other people's stigmas and putting people down when they don't understand. I don't know what else to say. That's the hardest part of having this kind of disease. Other people don't understand.
And he's being very patient.
Okay.
He's being very patient.
Me?
This guy.
Yeah. He's pretty good most of the time.
Yeah. How do you spell your name?
J-O-L-E-N-E.
E-M-E.
And the last name is Co. And of course, the fear of potentially passing on to my child is huge, too.
You know, there's one thing I don't know about is the genetic element.
I don't know either, but my mom does have it. My aunt has it.
Yeah.
I have it. Hard to say. It's a fear.
I bet it is. A real fear.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you to play with. I would lend you some toys.
I think maybe a bottle.
then I'm sort of led into what, you know.
Let's start with your name.
My name is Julie Butt.
Julie Butt?
Butt, B-U-T-T, Butt. And I've had fibromyalgia probably about 10 years. About 10 years. And it makes my muscles hurt, my joints hurt, my bones hurt, my skin hurts sometimes. Exhaustion, like so exhausted that I can see the dust bunnies in the corner and I can't pick them up. And now I have a little more energy, but I just bottom out. When I run out of energy, it's like a balloon deflating. And I sometimes I find it very difficult to even walk home. I don't have a car. I retired my car about 5 years ago because I'm on a low budget. Mm-hmm. And my Toyota Corolla died after 428,000 kilometers on it. My four kids all drove it. My son off-roaded in it, so I think he killed my car. But anyway, so yeah, sometimes I'm walking home and I think, God, am I going to make it? Because I'm exhausted. Right. And then when I finally do bottom out, is what I call it, at the end of the day, I'm just like, out. I'm out. I'm flat. So it's good to be flat at home and not on the street.
So what was it like, before fibromyalgia?
I've always been high energy level. And exhaustion only came when I became sick. I always was hyperactive, but it was good because I got a lot done throughout my whole life. And I had a lot of repeated pneumonias because I have another illness too called Riley-Day syndrome, which is a neurological disorder. So I would have repeated pneumonias and a lot of tonsillitis and things. And when I would get sick, I would be happy because I was finally flat out and I could relax. Because I'm like a hummingbird. A hummingbird always is buzzing and always has energy. That's me. And so I still am like that, even with the fibromyalgia and the Riley Day. So it's like...
So what's it like dealing with the doctors?
My doctor's very good. I'm Roman Catholic. He's Roman Catholic. He's about a block from my house. I can walk there. And he's very understanding, very loving, very loving. Like, he lets me decide what meds to take. The ones that are negotiable. There's some that are not negotiable, like for blood pressure and things like that. But, I find that I'm being looked after very well. And I'm also eating well. I'm eating organic and I'm eating healthy and I get a lot of exercise when I have energy. So it's like I'm doing optimum for my health and I'm going on the walk. It's going to be great. I can't wait. It's going to be wonderful. I've always wanted to walk across Canada with a group, and since I have the opportunity to go partway, I'm going. You know. So any donations to fibromyalgia would really help. It helps a lot. It helps a lot of people who are like me on low incomes and need a bit of a boost. And we all need a boost. We need emotional boost. We need a hug. Because some people think that it's fake. They don't even believe it's real. They just think, oh yeah, she's lazy. Well, no, we're not lazy. We're sick. So anyway, we all do the best we can. And I know so many who have a smile and they have so much hope that you really wouldn't even know what they're carrying, but they're carrying a big cross. A lot more public awareness will come from the walk because we're cut-ups, we're actors as well. Like, we're going to have a great time. And a lot of people will be enthusiastic about us because we're enthusiastic ourselves. And they'll see that you can have a handicap and a major handicap and still function highly. I don't believe in the word dysfunctional. To me, everybody functions. Even if they're lying in a bed and they can only breathe, they're functioning. To me, the term dysfunctional is used to eradicate whole populaces of people. I hate the term. I don't like it. So we're going to show how functional we are, but we're really sick. And they'll come to realize you can be really sick and still be high functioning. And we give you 1,000% of our time, even if it's only 2 hours a day.
we give you 1,000% of our time that we have available. Because every day is different. Some day you'll have more energy than others. Some days you'll just be so exhausted you can't move. And so that's what you do. But more people will realize that it is an illness, and they'll realize, hey, that's what I've had all this time. That's what I've had. The doctor didn't diagnose it, but I have fibromyalgia. So does that answer just about everything, I hope?
Yeah. Don't you start by telling me what life was like before you had symptoms?
Okay. You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Life before I had symptoms. A car accident caused this. A car accident got me going on fibromyalgia, and it was diagnosed fairly early. My life before, I was active, I could walk, I could do my household chores, I could do anything that was possible. I didn't sleep as much as I do now. Life was life. It's not like it is today. Totally different.
So what's things been like after being diagnosed?
After being diagnosed, they start putting you on different meds, try and alleviate some of the symptoms and this and that. And that's been taking quite a while to get. I found Lyrica was one of the best, but seeing as though Medicare doesn't cover it, I just can't afford the $700 or whatever it is with all my other ones too. That. So I'm on Cymbalta, and I'm finding that too, but I had so many flare-ups lately that it's been, I haven't been able to keep up with the flare-ups.
What's one of the big things that you miss from before symptoms to now?
What I miss from before, all my new grandson, Brody, who's 10 months old, I have not been able to watch him because I can't lift him to get him into the crib. I can't. My arms and shoulders are affected with this mainly. And I can hold him for a little while, and then all of a sudden my arms will start heating up. So I think looking out to my grandchildren, Sadie's going, she's 7 now, so she's, and she understands the disease. I've taught her what to do, and she's really very, very understanding about it, so I'm pleased with that. But Brody being 10 months old, I feel like I'm really missing out, and I feel like I'm letting down the family because I'm not able to look after him. So it's hard. It's really hard. And I guess just doing normal chores. I just did my bed, stripped my bed down, got a new mattress pad, the whole bit. It's taken me 3 days to make it because I have not been able to do it because of the pain that is up until the show.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then you finally get it done and you're just like, yes, I did it.
Okay, we have actually run out of time. I'd like to thank you all for listening today to today's show and the stories about fibromyalgia and how we can possibly help these people who have symptoms. Just listen with an open ear and an open heart and maybe not be judgmental thinking that, oh, they're just being lazy and not trying to get anything done. I want to leave you with that last thought. It's like, just try to be compassionate and maybe listen. And hopefully that'll help the person who's suffering a little bit and feeling that they're actually still part of society. Because one of the big things is, most of these people think they've been just kind of ostracized from society. So, everybody have a great day, and I welcome to see you tomorrow on the radio over on our half-hour show. So please stay tuned tomorrow on the NCRA networks at 2 o'clock tomorrow Pacific time. Thank you.
be your wingman. Even if it means me taking a chubby, I will suck it up.
CITR has always been your ultimate wingman. For when you have the ladies back at your place, or whatever.